Welcome, friends, to the Someone Gets Me podcast. I am your host, Diane Allen, and I am so delighted that you're here. This podcast was created because I believe there is a visionary leader inside each one of us who is waiting to be seen. In each episode of Someone Gets Me, you will hear useful tips from successful visionaries who will share their stories about how being seen has allowed them to take their vision out into the world with action.
Hey friends, it's Diane at Someone Gets Me, and I have a great guest for us today. We're going to be so excited. From New York City, we have an amazing woman who is a speaker and an author, but most importantly, she helps you transform your subconscious related to money. That's right, money. She helps you take care of your money blocks and other things in your life that have to do with your abundance. She's created her own methodology that helps you get underneath all of those other than conscious things that are in your way. She's one of the coolest people. And I went on her website. Yes, I'm going to tell you her name in a minute. Hold on. I went on her website and she has a video on there about her story, and it moved me with goosebumps, like I couldn't believe, but I'm going to let her tell you the most amazing journey. So make sure you're sitting back and ready to listen, because you too will be inspired by hearing the story of our guest today, Elise Soutine. So welcome, Elise, to our show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really, really excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you here, because even after our short talk before and going through your website, I was so moved by your passionate call from the inside out to really do something in the world that's huge benefit, not just a little thing. So I'd like to start a little bit with your story. Like, you didn't just land in this most amazing leadership spot in the world. You've gone through some real interesting challenges. So if you wouldn't mind, share your story, what you're willing to share and what's comfortable to share about how you got here.
Yes, I'm really happy to do that. So for many, many years, I suffered and was literally debilitated by severe depression and anxiety caused from the trauma I experienced as a child, because I was experienced on a daily basis of so much violence. In fact, I was the victim of violence. And I finally ran away as a teenager just to get out of the situation. But what happened was, because of that trauma, that was the reason why I was debilitated with depression and anxiety. And, you know, every morning I would wake up with severe and extreme panic attacks, and I would hyperventilate. And on the really, really bad days, I mean, most days it was bad for me, really difficult for me to get out of bed. But on the really bad days, I would have to call my therapist to get her, literally to get her to coach me out of bed. And I remember her saying to me, "Elise, all you have to do is just sit up and put your feet on the floor. That's all you have to do." And her asking me to do that was like asking me to climb Mount Everest. It just, you know, when you are in such a state of intense depression, it feels like just your whole weight. There's a weight on your body. And, you know, so what I finally did get up out of bed, what I did was I just watched TV. Like, I just couldn't wait for the day to end. And so I would start watching Oprah, and then I'd go to Dr. Phil, and then I'd end up watching Seinfeld. But it's interesting, during this time, though, even though it was a really dark time, I had this pull, this desire that was pulling me forward to do something in the world. And you know, ever since I was a little girl, I felt like there was something great for me to do. You know, I really believe that we're all destined for greatness, all of us, right? And so we usually have that sense when we're little. And that sense of greatness never went away, regardless of the violence, regardless of the depression, regardless of the anxiety and the panic attacks and the inability to just function for so many years. It was always there, pulling me forward and pulling me forward. And one day, and that made it even more difficult and more challenging, this dichotomy between the dark and light, you know, for lack of a better way of putting it, using it cliche there. And then one day I remember I was down a YouTube rabbit hole, which is one of my favorite things to do, get lost in a YouTube rabbit hole. I love learning. And I came across this woman who was a spiritual teacher. Her name was Gabrielle Bernstein. And I had never come, I didn't know anything about her. And her, she's a spiritual teacher, and her, the foundation of her teachings primarily is based in the Course in Miracles. And I, you know how some people speak to you really clearly? You know, I really believe that each of us is meant to serve a certain individual, you know, and how not everyone speaks to us, but very specific people speak to us. And so that was the situation with her. And I, and she had a ton of videos online, and I was just so grateful because I just watched all her videos, and it was slowly through her that I learned that I actually had a choice as to how I could think about things, you know, in the Course in Miracles and what she teaches. You know, you choose again your thinking. You can choose love over fear. And it was the first time that I even heard of such a thing, right? Because the thing is with me was that I identified with my depression and anxiety. I thought it was who I was. I thought it was my personality, right? I didn't know that it was just an illness that I had, you know, like the flu that I needed to get over, right? And also when you are in a state of trauma and you're surviving trauma, you're in a state of survival. And so you're living in the part of the brain that's surviving, like the amygdala. And so you don't even have access to the front of your brain where you really can really truly discover who you are, because you're in a perpetual state of survival. So I and she meditates. She also, the foundation of her practice is meditation. So I was really inspired to go and meditate. And there is a transcendental meditation place. It's called the David Lynch Foundation, and they teach transcendental meditation. They do phenomenal work in the city. And I went one Friday. They have presentations on Friday. And I remember walking into this really, I had no idea. I just went, I was curious, I was open, and I was willing. I was doing something new, and which was a whole new thing for me to do, you know, because normally I was just in my apartment, isolating, depressed, in bed, right? And so I really was inspired by the talk. This loft is just so gorgeous. It was so elegant. They had these huge windows with the sun shining through. And I just felt so safe there. And I remember the woman who signed me up for the meditation, she just said with such utter confidence and certainty that your whole life is going to change and you'll be able to create again. And I looked at her, I was really taken aback by her certainty in saying that. So but I was open to it. And so I meditated diligently. I still do. 2 times a day, 20 minutes, and my whole life started to change in a very short period of time. So it was initially my meditation practice that allowed me to move from this debilitating place more into the truth of who I am, which is how I like to put it. And so one of the things, and when you meditate, it seems like it's such a simple thing, but it's probably one of the most powerful things we can do as human beings. Something so simple, just to sit still, can be so powerful. And I just want to throw this in. I had tried meditating many, many times before, and I just thought I was a complete failure because I couldn't ever feel like I could stop my thoughts. But with transcendental meditation, I found you're assigned a mantra, and the mantra helped to just disengage the thinking. So it was very easy for me to do. So one of the first things that I noticed was that my panic attack stopped in the morning, just went away, gone, right? And it was so wild because I didn't even realize that I was waking up every morning with panic attacks, hyperventilating, because that was so normal for me to do. It was such a normal thing that it was only when it stopped that I realized, wow, you know? And then I just started getting more of a stronger sense of myself. My intuition became incredibly heightened. I started making better decisions for myself. And studies show that meditation physiologically changes the brain. So for those of us who know what it's like to live in the survival part of the brain, it literally moves you to the front of your brain, right? The prefrontal cortex. And so you experience life in a very different way and start making decisions in a very different way. And so I had a very powerful transformation, and I became a transformation coach because I wanted to give other people hope. And I also found that I was very, very gifted at coaching. I believe we're all born with gifts, right? Every single one of us. Every single one of us is born to contribute something unique that only that person can contribute to the world, and it's greatly needed. And I think the journey of getting to that place where we find our gift is the most rewarding thing, right? It's where we acquire our wisdom and our knowledge and our strength so that we can serve others. And so I became a transformation coach. And then I was really excited about starting my own business. So I did everything that, you know, you're supposed to do. You have the website. I want to back up a little bit too. And I really want to make a point is that this depression and the anxiety that I endured lasted decades. So I essentially lost decades of my life. And it was only in my 50s that I was able to finally thrive. Right. So I really want to make a point. That wasn't a couple of years. That was literally decades of my life that I lived in that dark place.
Right. Like it wasn't like you got up a few mornings and felt a little down. Yeah. And that was it. And somebody talked you off a couch once.
Right.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up because it's profound when you live with that level of trauma and your brain literally stuck with the vagus nerve freaking out, the adrenals freaking out, the whole system in survival mode. And the fact that you survived it in one piece and still makes sense is nothing short of a miracle. I mean, our bodies are amazing. And so that digging out of that kind of patterning and hole had to have taken a lot of work on your part, a lot of personal work on your part, in addition to the meditation, to be able to heal and like reset the body using meditation, of course, and the other things you've had to do in order to position you to be able to actually coach people, guide people, and be able to bring that gift to the world in like a real way.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I say is that if I can claw my way out of decades of trauma, I can do anything, right?
Absolutely.
And
I know,
and that is like anything else is a cakewalk, right?
Right. Seriously, so, I mean, those dark times where you can't get out of bed, I've had them where moving is difficult. Not decades of it, but long enough of it where you're talking and I'm like, oh, I remember. And I work with people that have had that, or sometimes some of them are just on the back end of it, you know, just coming out of it. And it's a real thing. It's not just a conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I was very excited. I really wanted to serve and I really wanted to help people because to be honest, I didn't know that I could make my way out of that. I didn't know that I could. I had that pull to serve and to contribute to the world, but I really didn't know that I could get out of it because primarily I thought it was my identity. I thought it was who I was, right? So I also want to make that clarification. And so I wanted desperately for other people to know that they can make their way out of that way. And I wanted to steward them through that, right? I wanted to help shepherd them or guide them through that, facilitate that process. And so, you know, so here I am, very good at what I want to do, very sincere in my desire to serve. And, you know, I had the website, it did challenges, I did social media, I had a social media presence, and no matter what I did, I just couldn't get any traction, right? And so I was really confused and taken aback by that because I really felt like I was guided, divinely guided to do what I was doing, but so then why weren't things working out, right? I was really puzzled by that. And so then I thought, oh, it must be my branding. So then I changed my branding, right? Still nothing, right? And it was only until I really learned about the subconscious mind and what ultimately was preventing me from really generating the revenue that I'm worthy of making because through my gifts, imparting my gifts in the world, was a story from my childhood that was lodged in my subconscious mind. And that story had to do with a dog. We were just talking about your dog before the podcast, your gorgeous dog. So I lived in a small town, and it was farming community, and every now and then the farmers would bring in a dog, a stray dog, to the town, into the town, hoping with the hopes that the dog would get adopted, right? So one day my neighbor, another girl, she was a little older than I was 8 years old at the time. It was a beautiful summer day. I'll never forget this day. It was like the sky was really blue and everything was so green and the sun was shining. And she brought this gorgeous dog. It was like this mid-sized dog. And she had her coat was golden, like gold. And around her mouth, it was all brown. So I named her Muzzle, right? And I was allowed to keep her. So I loved this dog. She walked me to school. We'd go walking down the railroad tracks like, you know, you do when you live in a small town and you're a child and you want to get away from all the adults. I would sing to her. And then one day she got really sick, and I really took as best care of her as I could. I brought her milk and bread, and I just nursed her as best as I could, but she ended up dying. And so what registered for me on a subconscious level at 8 years old was that if I were to help people, something bad was going to happen to them.
Wow.
So the subconscious mind controls 95% of our behavior, right? So these situations and scenarios and stories that happen in our childhood, we're still living from that place. And until they get resolved, nothing's going to change, right? And it was only when I uncovered that story that I was able to finally serve. And I went from making like $1,000 months to $10,000 weeks, right? So I'm very passionate about the subconscious mind as a consequence. And I just really became an expert in the subconscious mind. And I actually created a methodology called the subconscious shift method, which the subconscious shift call is the most common and popular offering. And, you know, the rest is history. So really, it's important, our subconscious identity, to shift our subconscious identity in order for us to have what we want in the world. Because on some level, I was still this depressed person, but I was wanting to live a different kind of life. And even though I'd done all the work, it was on a subconscious level that I really ultimately needed to do more work. And it was the subconscious mind for me was like the missing piece of the puzzle. So even though I felt like I was divinely guided, finally imparting my gifts in the world, things weren't working. It was because I still needed to shift things on a subconscious level. And so that's one of the reasons why I'm so incredibly passionate about the subconscious.
And so what you're saying is very, very important as I'm listening to you, because most people in our Western culture have the belief, and it's taught this way, to change your thinking and then everything will be okay, and just keep doing that, which that is partially true. But they don't tell everybody about the subconscious part and all the things running behind it. And I'm sitting here listening to the story of you and the dog and thinking about an 8-year-old girl and how that gets integrated into the system, that no matter what I do, it's not enough to help. It dies anyway. And that script's running on the vagal nerve and running the whole time. And you're doing all this adult thing, which is all working and it's great. And now you're out of bed and you're moving along. But that energetic disconnect that you're mm-hmm. talking about,
yes,
is a difference between full all out flow and amazement and trying to figure out what color your branding needs to be, because it's whatever, for whatever reason, it's not working. Where it's not that it's not working out here. It's that the connection isn't happening so that it all can work together.
Right.
And I love how you shared that, because I so understand that. And I believe that too. And it's like, I have several people I'm working with right now. I cannot wait for them to hear your podcast. Like, see, I told you. I said, and what you're saying is I think a missing piece to so many people, that they don't understand that there's that inside part that has as much power as it does.
Yes. If you're out of subconscious alignment with your vision, nothing's going to happen, period. Right? You must be who you need to be to create what you want. Mm-hmm. Right? And so most people think that you have to have things first in order to be, right? I have to have my relationship, my partner, and then I'll be happy. I have to have my $1 million and I'll be happy. I have to own my own home and then I'll be happy. But it really doesn't work that way. It's a reverse paradigm. The correct way to work from is to be, do, have. You must first be who you need to be so that you can do what you need to do, because the doing is only as good as the being doing the doing, right?
Right.
So you can have what you want. And that's how it works. Because when we're being on a subconscious level, energetically, that's how we magnetize what we want, because we're all energy, everything's vibration, right? And that's how we attract what we want.
Right, because like attracts like. So yes. If I'm all disconnected or I'm in doubt or disbelief, then that's the energy that's attracting things to me, not this positive affirmation I might be thinking. And if it's disconnected, it's not doing the attraction. It's the underneath that's doing the attraction.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
And the thing is that, like you said, it's underneath. It's completely unbeknownst to us. It's important that we tap into that part of ourselves, the subconscious.
Yes.
It's governing. It's running the show. And I can't scream that enough from the rooftops.
You know, it's funny because I'm listening to you and I'm like, and now I'm getting all excited and hyper about it, because I say a lot of the similar things and use all these different stories. And sometimes I feel like I'm talking to a lot of just blank stares. And I'm like, no, there really is more. There really is more. So I'm glad to hear the way you're saying it. So how did you create this really amazing system, the subconscious shift? Like, what started you trying to create it? How did this work? Because a lot of people say, oh, okay, it's subconscious. And so there's people doing whatever regarding their subconscious. I'm just going to go do their thing or copy them or follow this other protocol over here. And so there's something about you, though, that said there's something more that was coming through you, emerging through you, that was unique. So tell us about that. Like, when did the inspiration come, and how did you go about creating its own system to help with the subconscious issues? I think that's just really neat. It's exciting.
Yeah.
It's really exciting.
Well, thank you for asking me that. Well, I had the idea to do the subconscious shift call. It just came to me, like I was in the shower, boom, subconscious shift call. Okay. Right. And so, and then I, you know, so I'm trained as a coach. I'm trained in neurolinguistic programming, you know, obviously in spiritual principles. And so I based the training. So what I did was I worked with beta testers. I just worked with people to explore. Like I said, okay, I'm creating this call, and I come do the call with me. So I guess I'm working on it. It was completely free. It was pro bono beta testing. And, that's how it developed. And I just also knew intuitively what was missing, because there's just, this call is very, very, very effective. And it's based on NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. It's based on brain-based science. It's based on the reprogramming of the subconscious mind, the soma, which is the body. It's a very significant, I embrace the body. I think a lot of methodologies kind of like ignore the body, but I bring in the body. I work very much with the body in this methodology. And I work with spiritual principles. So it's a combination of all those things. And it's, people have been getting incredible results with this just in one phone call. That's it. It's one phone call. We take one. Usually I specialize in the area of money, because people who are trying to birth a vision into the world really struggle financially initially, right? There's this disconnect where you have the vision and you're clear and you're taking action, but the money isn't there. So I help usually people like with that, removing. So what we do is we uncover that one thing in the money area that's blocking you. And it was amazing the stories that come up, right? And then you're given a specific protocol that's uniquely designed to the individual. And then I follow up with people. I do follow up calls and to keep people accountable. And now I've added I add a hypnosis that can be added to the subconscious ship call, which is, it's called the subconscious alignment, personalized subconscious alignment hypnosis. And so the combo of those two, I sell them in a bundle or separately. It's really, really powerful because it just helps to really, truly, not only does it uncover what's stopping people on a subconscious level, but then it helps to create context for what they want to create in the world. So they anchor themselves into the context for what they want to create. So I'm just over the moon, like excited and thrilled about this methodology that's really powerful and really effective. And I'm very proud. I'm very proud of it.
I love that it covers more than just spiritual principles, because I know a lot of people that follow Course in Miracles, and I've watched a lot of Gabby Bernstein's things, and I really like her. And some of the things you've mentioned I also resonate with. And I also hear a lot of people discount the physical part of all of this, our bodies, the physical environment, the three-dimensional world, if you will. Like A Course in Miracles is a world-denying viewpoint that's kind of like, we're just going to live out here. This is a dream, and eventually we won't have to have the dream anymore. And that piece of it's a little bit not so resonant with me. I really resonate with our mind, our emotions, our body, our spirit, our social connection, that there's a purpose for our connection with others of the same species, right? So I'm really excited that you also like really honor and respect the body and the physicality of how this all works. I love that. And I love that you're talking about spiritual principles and using your intuition in it, because that's using your real gifts, you know, the higher gifts, and bringing them into this world to then elevate this world. And for me and in my journey and all the different things I do and teach and everything, that's something that's really important to me, that, excuse me, to have the understanding that I'm drawing from this great resource to bring it into the world more powerfully. So I love that you explained it that way. It made me even more excited for your subconscious shift work that you're doing, because I think it's got elements in it that a lot of people are missing.
Yes, and that's why I created it. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and you know, it just popped in my head. And depression is such a somatic physical experience. And so many people, I work with people who have really severe and persistent mental illness different times throughout my career. And some of them, the depression is physically painful and it's difficult to move. It's not just in their head, or it's just not low energy like some people think, that it's really creates a physical pain. And I think, again, you bringing in the physicality to these higher principles and marrying them in a way that is profitable to move somebody forward and free them is revolutionary. I think it's wonderful. I am so glad I met you. This is
thank you.
This is just, you know, like I always like to have this podcast leave people feeling more hopeful for themselves and for the world. And I'm already feeling more hopeful, and we're not even done yet.
Yeah, I'm so glad. I'm so glad, because my life is a story of hope, right? I literally lost decades of my life. I'm 56 years old right now, and I'm thriving just now in my life. Okay. So there is hope. There is hope. There is hope. There is hope.
That's right. And if you could all see her, go to her website, you'll see Elise's picture. She does not look like she's 56. When I first saw her picture, I thought, oh, wow, this is great. She has created all of these things. And she probably looks like maybe in her late 30s, early 40s. And then she goes, I'm 56. I'm like, yep. When you live the right way, though, and you keep expanding your consciousness and keep growing that radiance, you look younger. You know, I think it's great.
Oh, thanks. Great.
So I have a couple other little tips I'd like, if you wouldn't mind sharing.
Yes.
The number one, I poll my audience quite frequently and ask kind of what are some of the big topics that they'd like to hear a little bit about. And the number one thing that every single person who answered the poll mentioned is overthinking.
Mm-hmm.
And intelligent people tend to overthink. for lots of different reasons. But what I really would like, maybe if you could share a tip or two, is how could you use some of the work you do to help somebody get out of that stuck overthinking loop? What could they do to help themselves kind of get on the other side of it so they can have a little bit more clarity or a little bit more movement? What is something that you could, you know, tell us about that might be able to help them?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that you can do is to anchor yourself in your body, like to connect with your intuition on some level, because overthinking is just, it's fear. It can be fear, right? People are on a deeper level, afraid of making the wrong decision, right? And so they get in this hamster wheel of overthinking, right? So it becomes a kind of coping mechanism, right? Mm-hmm. And I think to see it as a sort of coping mechanism, especially if it's something that someone has a habit and pattern of, to recognize it first and foremost, that it's a coping mechanism. But I think to just anchor in your body, to just ask yourself, what is the right thing to do? And to just feel into it. And sometimes someone may hear something, someone may see something, because we get information differently. But just to feel, just to kind of disengage from the mind and put yourself down into your body, into your gut. You know, most of us are connected. You know, the proverbial saying is, listen to your gut. So that's ultimately what I would say. Because when you go into the body, when you make a shift from going from your mind into your intuition, into your gut, that helps to disengage from the mind.
Yes, that's a really great tip. And I like that, what you said about how do you feel? How does it feel to you? Because that helps direct the energy, I think, away from the, what do you think about this?
Right, right. Exactly. Yeah.
That's perfect. So what about procrastination? If somebody say they know what to do, and they can tell you what they should be doing, but they're, for whatever reason, procrastinating and not really taking the action that they want to be taking. What would be something maybe that you could share with that person?
Well, I could give a very practical thing to do. I mean, procrastination, again, is fear, right? Fear of the unknown. Fear of all kinds of things, right? It could be imposter. There's many reasons why someone's procrastinating, but I think the best thing to do, because with procrastinators, and I really used to be one and I still am a little bit of one, is that it's just hard for us to start, right? Once we start, we're okay, we're good to go, but it's just a matter of getting to the place where we start. So what I like to do, here's my tip, right? It's called the 5-minute tip, right? So all you have to do if you're procrastinating is put on your timer and start doing what you're doing for 5 minutes. And you only have to worry about doing it for 5 minutes, and that's it, right? And then you'll find that once you do it, you do another 5 minutes and another 5 minutes and another 5 minutes, and then you're in it, right? So that's my tip for that.
Oh, I love that. So it's like chunking it all down, like anybody can do it for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So it kind of takes away that fear, because I'm not having to do it all day and I don't have to get it done. I just have to do 5 minutes. And so I love that. So it lightens it up a lot.
Yeah, because sometimes if we're doing a big project, it can feel overwhelming. Like, how do I even approach this big thing? Do you know what I mean? And so then you're frozen. So I think that's very, very helpful.
Oh, that's amazing. So I have some other questions, and they're not directly related to your work, because I want to come back to some of your offerings and things for the people directly. But I'm just really curious. You live in New York City. What's your favorite food to eat?
Well, I have such a restricted diet, but I do love all kinds of food. New York City, I usually eat just really clean food. I'm afraid I'm terribly boring in this department. I like Indian food, I guess I can say. I like Indian food.
Indian food. I love it too. Yes. Okay. I'm just curious. So what do you do for fun?
Well, that is a very good question. That is a very good question that you're asking me, because right now I am so engaged in my business, right? Because it's taken me this long to get to this place. And I am just, I just work. I mean, I'm not a workaholic, but I work a lot in my business. What do I do for fun? I mean, right now I think going to Netflix, watching Netflix, a movie on Netflix is fun for me right now. Yeah, I'm sound terribly boring, but yeah, that's what I do for fun right now.
Netflix. Wow. Yeah. Okay. I'm just curious. I always like to ask people that. So what do you like to do for relaxation? Like if you're feeling stressed, kind of relaxation, or like giving yourself some kind of downtime, or, you know, when, if you know you need to disconnect, what are some things that help you kind of do that?
I love watching documentaries because it just takes me out of my life and my world. I just love watching documentaries or being in nature. Like if I'm going to the ocean, walking on the ocean, being in a forest. Yeah. There's a monastery that I frequent upstate New York, and I just love being there. It's right on the Hudson River, and it's just full of just trees, and it's gorgeous. It's so, yeah.
Oh, that sounds absolutely beautiful. I love nature and the ocean too. I love those. Yeah, that's really cool. I love it. Your business, you help people outside of New York City, right? Like people can, if anybody's listening to you from anywhere, this podcast is now, I think, in 40, 50 countries, something like that.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you. And people are loving it. And I love sharing all these great things and introducing people to wonderful people like you. And so you would work with somebody. So if somebody's listening to us and they're like, wow, I really need some help with this, or maybe I'm depressed, or I just really liked her vibe. Like you liked Gabrielle's vibe, right? Like they want to get to know you and maybe somehow engage with you. You are open to engaging with people through the internet and electronically, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I have clients all over the world. I just did a session with someone in Singapore last night. So I have clients all over the world, and I love hearing from people. I love connection. I love engaging. So yes, if people just see me even on social media, please get in touch with me. Feel free to DM. I'm on Instagram the most. If you private message me on Instagram, that's, or Facebook Messenger, I see those instantly. I love connecting with people.
That's wonderful. I love it. So I'm going to put Elise's Instagram address in the show notes, along with her website, which is her name, elisesoutine.com. It's ILYSESOUTINE.com. I will put that in the show notes, along with an offer that you have for our listeners, which is really amazing and very, very gracious of you. The offer is the Subshift Masterclass. Right?
Well, that's the URL. The offer is, it's a free training, and it reveals the science behind why your subconscious mind is sabotaging your finances, right? So it's a little known secret of the subconscious mind that no one's talking about, and it's a free masterclass. And it just, if people sign up for it, it goes directly to your inbox, so you can view it at your convenience. And the link for that to sign up is called subshiftmasterclass.com. So subshiftmasterclass.com. That's how you sign up to get that.
Oh, that's perfect. So I will put that in the show notes as well. And I think that's really a great thing that you're offering people, because if they're not really sure what we're talking about here, or they want to hear it again, besides rewinding and listening to the podcast again, but also to say, okay, there's so much to this, because it's a very deep subject. There's a lot to it that gives a little bit more information. So take Elise up on this really generous gift, you guys, because what'll happen is you'll have more questions. And like she said, you go down the rabbit hole a little bit and reach out to her, let her know you heard her here and ask her some questions and make sure that you share your gift with her so she can share her gift with you. And that's how the world becomes a better place.
Thank you.
So I have one more question.
Okay.
If you could put a message on a billboard that you were certain everyone would see, what would your message be?
You must first be who you need to be so that you can create what you want.
There you go. You heard it. First be who you need to be so that you can create who and what you want to be. How amazing is that? That is a beautiful billboard. It'll be out everywhere, I'm sure. So as we get ready to end this show, it's been so fun. I could talk to you forever. Oh, it's like amazing. Yeah. Is there something on your heart that you would like to share that maybe either I didn't ask you about, or something that's coming up for you now intuitively that you want to be sure that our listeners get to hear about?
I think that I want to end with that you can't outperform your subconscious identity.
You can't outperform your subconscious identity. That's powerful. So, Elise, thank you for being on the show with us today. I really appreciate your presence, your time, your enthusiasm, all of it. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And thank you so much for all the amazing work that you're doing in this world, including this podcast. It's a phenomenal podcast. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And remember, everyone, to keep your face to the sun so the shadows fall behind you, because you are a rock star here on purpose with a purpose. So go out there and let your light shine. And until next time, be well.
Thank you for listening. I trust you gained some valuable inspiration and information. Please join me and other visionaries in the Someone Gets Me Facebook group. Or for more information on my services and additional episodes, visit SomeoneGetsMe.com. Again, thanks for listening.